Today we continue with lesson number 16 in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Shviyos. We're in the fourth perek, the third and fourth Mishnayos, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Gimel, and Mishnah Dalet. Before we go further, I want to further clarify a point that I made or tried to make yesterday. Fruits or fruits or vegetables or grain or whatever, food, which grows during Shavuos is permissible to be eaten subject to certain constrictions, certain restrictions. It has to be eaten b'kedusha Shavuos. And we will define as we go along what that means exactly, but basically it means you have to eat it and not deal with it, sell it and buy it. It has to be eaten but not used to for things that are ruinous or negative or destructive and other restrictions. And this applies to all food that grows, whether it's fruit trees, which grow year to year, whether you plant them or not, you planted them 10 years ago and they continue to grow every year, or food like wheat and barley, which have to be planted every year. They don't grow from year to year. However, every once in a while in a wheat field and barley field, even if it is not planted, some wheat or barley will grow during Shviyos. That's called sefichim. Just grew because there were some seeds lying around, or the wind blew some seeds there or whatever, and it grew by itself. So min haTorah, as long as the things that grew by themselves is not harvested in the proper manner, and the field is open to anyone to come and take, it's permissible to eat that, but b'kedusha Shviyos, just like it's permissible to eat the apples which grow every year, not because you planted during the year of Shviyos, but because they grow. So too, svichim in haTorah, permissible to be eaten b'kedusha Shviyos. And this is min haTorah. However, midrabbanan, the Rabbanan saw that there were people dealing during Shemitah with wheat and barley. And when he asked them, where did you get that from? They said, well, it grew on my farm by itself. I didn't plant it. It just grew by itself. And it's svichim. It's permissible. So the Chachamim made a gzera against all svichim. That's why the restrictions of Kedusha Shviyos generally apply nowadays to fruits, grapes, dates, figs, apples, etc. But not to wheat and barley, which grew during Shviyos, because there's a gzera of the Rabbanon against all svichim. I just wanted to make that clear. Now, let's continue. I will discuss this in greater detail as we go along, and in general, I have to emphasize to you that whenever we study Mishnayos in any topic, especially a topic as complicated as the laws of Shviyos, of Shemitah, we're not discussing them halacha lemaisa. This is not things that we're studying for halachic, practical halachic reasons. We're studying it in a more theoretical or historical framework. The actual halachos are quite complex and go beyond, way beyond what we'll be studying in the Mishnah itself. But no question about it, studying the Mishnah itself is one way to prepare oneself to learn the complex laws of Shemitah, halacha lemaisa, in practical nowadays contexts. Having said that, let's continue now with Mishnah Gimel of Perek Dalet. Chochrim nirin min hagoyim bashviyas. Suppose you have a goy living in Eretz Yisrael, and he, of course, is a goy, a Muslim, a Christian, whatever. And he has a field in Eretz Yisrael, and he plowed it during Shviyos. He's allowed to do that. Now I, a Jew, would like to rent this field from him and pay him every year a certain percentage of the produce. So the Mishnah says, Chochrin, it's permissible to rent a field, Nirin, even a plowed field, a field that was plowed during Shvius. I'm renting it now for the 8th year, and I'm going to plant it and work it, etc., and give him back a percentage of the crop. That's permissible. Am I not encouraging someone to plow on Shvius by arranging for such a deal? Maybe I am, but there's no problem with that. The guy is doing nothing wrong if he plows his field in Israel, in the land of Israel, on during Shavuos. Avaloma Yisrael. Suppose you have a Jew who, against the Torah, plowed his field during Shavuos. Against the Torah, doing an Avera. And now I want to rent it for him for the 8th year. That I can't do, because by renting it from him for the 8th year, I am encouraging him to plow it during the 7th year. I am encouraging him to do an Avera, to do a sin. That you can't do. The Mishnah says further, if you have a guy working in his field during Shvius, and you pass by, and you want to say, oh, good morning, how are you doing? I hope everything's working out. Good luck with your crop. It's permissible to do that. It's permissible to say to him, to this guy who's doing nothing wrong, he's a guy, may your hands be successful, may your hands be strong, hatzlocha to you, permissible. Aval lo yedei Yisrael. If you have a Jew who sinfully is an over avera, and he's working the field, his field, during Shavuos, and you say to him, hey, Ashikayach, I hope everything turns out well. This you can't do, because you are machazik yedei ovrei avera. You're supporting a person who's doing an avera. The Mishnah continues. Machzik yedei Mashiach lo Yisrael. V'sho alim bishlomon b'pnei darchei shalom. It's permissible to greet a goy when he's doing work during Shvius or whatever else, it's permissible to greet him and say, how are you doing, Mr. Goy? I hope everything's okay. The Gemara Maseches Gittin discusses this, actually Mishnah Maseches Gittin, in Perek HaNezokin discusses this, and says, of course you could say hello, good morning, how are you doing to a Goy? Because if you can tell him during Shvius, I hope everything turns out all right, I hope you're successful, you can certainly, when you see him in the streets, Tom, whenever, you can greet him warmly. Certainly you are Shoel Bishlomo. But the Chiddush of our Mishnah is that even on Yom Chagom, it's Xmas Day, and you go over to him and you say, oh, have a great day. This is also permissible, because even though they may be worshipping Avodah Zorah on that day, nevertheless, Darkei Shalom, it's permissible to ask them, how are you doing today, etc. Are you allowed to say to them, Merry Xmas? That's an interesting question, which we will not go into in the context of this Mishnah. Mishnah Dalet continues with an interesting halacha. Hamedeil Bazesim. If a person has a grove of olive trees, and he wants to thin out the grove. The olive trees now, the way they are, they're too close together and there's too many of them. And I want them to have more breathing room, so to speak. So I'm going to kind of cut out, uproot some of those trees during the year of Shvius. Or others say that it's not a matter of the other trees growing with more space, but rather, I need the wood. I need the olive wood. So I'm going to thin out this olive grove in order to use the wood of the trees that I will uproot or cut down. So you can do so under certain restrictions. Beishamayomrim yogom. We had the word yogom, the shoresh gimel mem mem, which means to cut down a tree, but to leave its roots. This is what you've got to do. Beishamai says, yogom. You can cut it down, but you must leave its roots in place. So otherwise, it looks like you're doing avodas karka. You're making the ground better. You're removing this tree, so now the ground there, if you would remove the roots, it would be like you're plowing the ground and preparing the ground for future growth. Beis Hillel is more mekel, and he says yishoresh. You can even uproot the roots. It's permissible even to get rid of the roots. Because since you are only uprooting isolated trees in a thick grove of trees, that's not tikkun hasoda. That's not plowing. The Mishnah continues, umodim b'machalik ad sheyogom. Basil agrees, suppose you're not just being meidel, you're not just thinning out a thick grove of trees, but rather you are removing several trees, which now you're going to be leaving behind an open area of land which is ready to be plowed, which has been plowed in effect by removing these trees, achi yishoresh. Then if you're machalik, if you're smoothing out an area of several trees, then Beis Hillel agrees, ad sheyogom, you must leave the roots in place so that it's not actually a now improved plot of earth that you've left behind. The Mishnah asks, Ezehu ha-meidel, how do you distinguish between meidel, thinning out a thick grove of trees, versus machalik, smoothing an area where those trees were? Ha-meidel echad o-shnayim. If you have 10 trees, olive trees, close, growing closely together, and you pluck out one or two, this is Meidel, where Rabbi Beis Hillel holds, you can even be Misharesh, you can even uproot the roots completely. Hamachalik is Shlosho Zebitzadzeh. If you have three trees, one next to each other, three olive trees, and you remove all three of them, then even Beis Hillel agrees that you have to be Misharesh. Bamed Vorim Amurim, when is this true? Mitok Shalo. If it's your own olive grove, then, if you're uprooting three of them in a row, then you have to be Misharesh. Then you have to be Megameim. Then you cannot be Misharesh. You can't uproot the three of them, but you have to leave some of the roots in place. If it's your own olive grove. Avo mitov shel chavero, if you're doing this procedure of machalik in another person's grove, then af hamachalik yishoresh, then you can uproot the tree entirely. Because if you're doing it in someone else's field, it's people will not say, oh, look what he's doing, he's preparing a field, his neighbor's field, for better planting, better plowing in the future. He's not being metaken es hakarka. I don't go into your field to be metaken es hakarka. I might go into your field because I need the wood from those trees, so therefore I can be mishoresh in another person's field. So we have completed Mishnah Dalid of Perek Dalid, and in the process have completed lesson number 16.